Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Freshman Mary Kate Cornett told me how she became famous on the internet and social media in the worst possible way. In February, an online rumor went viral claiming an Ole Miss sorority sister slept with her boyfriend's father. Then someone attached Cornett's name and photo to it.
Do you know why the rumor started?
No clue. No clue. I had zero knowledge of this.
So you're just an 18-year-old or maybe 19, I think she's 18-year-old girl. You're off at college at Ole Miss, just going through the paces, doing your normal thing. And all of a sudden, you get your name and your picture and your phone number attached to a lie, urban legend, internet rumor about you doing a bizarre, horrible, you know, immoral thing. And your world is going to change because we live in the world of the digital lynching.
Disgusting rumor was a top trending topic on Twitter.
Within 2.5 hours. Later that night, around 7 p.m., I was number one trending in the United States.
Cornett's phone number was also shared online. She was overwhelmed with harassing texts and voicemails.
I was having thousands of calls come through, thousands of texts coming through. Calling me a whore, calling me a slut, telling me I deserve to die.
All because of an internet rumor.
All because of an internet rumor that has zero truth to it. Zero.
The power of the internet, social media, rumors, allegations, and then as people do, because people are, crazy, what they do when they hear about this kind of stuff is, you know, to sort of take matters in their own hands I don't think I have ever seen a story on social media and thought, you know what I need to do? I need to call that person and tell them they should die. Like, the idea of contacting the person is, I don't even understand that. But, you know, the internet is full of gossip, allegations, whatever. Kind of relevant for the prior story we talked about last hour. We'll talk about it again. Charter boat captain Brock story. If you don't know what that is, oh my God, it's a doozy. Anyway, back to NBC doing reporting on this poor young lady. And it went worse after that because National Talk Show talked about it and picked it up on radio.
Cornett says she could barely leave her dorm room, had to switch to online classes. Someone even sent police to her mother's house in a fake 911 call.
Some old Miss frat bro.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Had a KD girlfriend.
Soon, the rumor was picked up by ESPN host Pat McAfee, though he didn't use her name.
This is what is being reported by everybody on the internet. Dad had sex with son's girlfriend.
I'm not sure that by everyone on the internet is the journalist standard you want to go with, because that's why you heard me even talking about this video of the, you know, the fishing encounter that I'm pretty cautious about even saying things that I think are probably true, but because, you know, I don't trust the internet much either. You know, I see the video, okay. I know what's been reported on legitimate news sites, and then beyond that, I'm going to be cautious.
Not a public figure that you can go talk about on your show to get more views.
Cornett says she hit rock bottom when she realized her name would forever be linked to the rumor spread online.
I don't think that these boys realize what they're doing to people. It's awful. It's awful. And having your life ruined by people who have no idea who you are is the worst feeling in the world. It makes you feel so alone.
If it were my daughter, I can't even imagine. You just sent your daughter off to college. She hasn't done anything wrong. And then all of a sudden, this happens to her. And I know she says, you know, they don't realize. So I'm the kind of person that's of the mind to think they don't realize, but I'm also a person who knows there are people who do stuff like this because they think it's fun and entertaining and they're horrible, evil, terrible people. The fact that it causes you the distress, I mean, they're sadists. I mean, the world, I used to think the world didn't have a whole lot of sadists, like there were one or two here and there. You know, internet trolls are sadists. They are. They enjoy the idea that they're making you unhappy, uncomfortable, angry, anxious, whatever, or worse. And that is frightening, that there's apparently a lot of people who really do enjoy that. Her dad?
I just wonder why. Why my daughter? She wasn't looking for any of this. She never asked for any attention. She's trying to be a freshman in college.
Instead, she's been tested like never before.
This has affected me in such an awful way and has practically ruined my life.
Yeah, and is looking for legal recourse against whoever she can find that made it worse. It's a very understandable response. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, just got some minor delays right there through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Why would March Madness get canceled? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9. At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10. Swan Capital at 1. Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the term March Madness. We certainly understand that many Americans enjoy filling out brackets and watching the unpredictable college basketball tournament to the loss of billions of dollars of productivity every spring. We have no issue with this. other than the fact that the men receive far more attention than the women, an injustice which our denial of basic common sense obligates us to say comes from sexism and not from being less entertaining. But that's a scolding for another service. Today, we want to focus on this colloquial reference to the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament as March Madness. Look, people, mental health is no trivial matter, nor is mental health awareness something you can just flagrantly foul the culture with by referring to an unpredictable and chaotic sports tournament with the highly prejudicial term madness. Madness is hurtful, especially to the mentally ill, whose feelings we must obviously safeguard from linguistic violence. You wouldn't call it March insanity, just like you wouldn't call the ups and downs of the competition bipolar competition, or loony contest, or psychotic basketball. And that's why the third-degree felony marginalization committed in using this term, March Madness, so callously, should really carry jail time in addition to the hefty fine. But think beyond the name for the tournament itself and realize just how embedded such institutional ableism is in the annual sports spectacle. Great players are described as crazy, or insane, or nuts, or freakish, or bonkers, or sometimes wacky or weird. But don't you realize these are all neurotypical slanders used against the psychologically distressed persons all around us? So instead of calling this sporting contest something as hurtful and insensitive as March Madness, we recommend using a label that won't insult the mentally ill. Perhaps the Very Unpredictable Tournament, or the Big Bracket. Something completely nice, perhaps, as the Very Entertaining Basketball Event in March. I like that. Not insane or crazy or wild or unhinged or off the chain, just vaguely boring and inoffensive, like every bland turn of phrase we really believe in. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Texas Democratic Representative Jasmine Crockett for her recent comments about Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott at a human rights campaign event. In order to understand her comments properly, you should know that Abbott was paralyzed below the waist when an oak tree fell on him while jogging in 1984, and he has been in a wheelchair ever since.
Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
I know. If it were anyone else, we would be immediately horrified because making fun of persons with a disability is clearly Class A bigotry and marginalization in addition to being full-blown ableism. However, Jasmine Crockett is a female black liberal and therefore carries not one, not two, but three official layers of protection charms against ordinary misdeeds worthy of cancellation. Unfortunately for all of us, she did not stop there.
Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot-ass mess, honey. So yes.
Now we have a problem. This second set of comments obviously plays off the first, but it does so by bullying Abbott over what she considers his lack of physical beauty. Whether he is or is not handsome, of course, is not for us to say. But as people who stand firmly with the entire oppressed category of homely, unattractive, overweight, or oddly shaped people of the world, we cannot allow this sort of beautyism to go unchecked. Also, since Abbott is 67 and Crockett is 44, the lack of hotness quip smacks of ageism and even reverse sexism, since if a younger man made such a remark about an older woman, we would never let it stand. Thus, facing three strikes, not even Crockett's triple-strength black female liberal immunity can protect her from the consequences. However, upon subsequent review by our conclave of cancelers, Eastern Region 7th District, a special dispensation of grace was issued to Crockett. The cancelers deemed that, even with the triple speech crime, Crockett should not be punished because she is a liberal Democrat attacking a conservative Republican, and therefore the rules do not apply to her against this case. So in the end, being on the correct side of those who will rewrite history protected Mrs. Crockett from what would otherwise have been her well-deserved fate. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our golden tambourine for courage and advancing wokeosity this week goes to the British Department for Education for their relentless work to advance the cause of inclusion for gay and transgender children by summarily excluding anyone who doesn't properly practice inclusion. According to reporting by The Telegraph, state schools have been suspending or expelling roughly 80 to 90 students per semester for homophobia and or transphobia. And winning the You Never Can Start Practicing Thought Control Too Early in Life contest, three of the expelled students were in the second grade, year two they call it. 10 of them were in the first grade, year one, and most beautifully of all, one was a nursery-age child of 3 or 4. That's right, they expelled a 3-year-old from school for being transphobic or homophobic. This is such a refreshing and bold example of the decency of humankind that we Americans should aspire to emulate. You see, in the United States, we almost never expel children from school for the grave sin of making other people feel uncomfortable by disagreeing with their opinions. But in England, on the other hand, they realize how important it is to catch and discipline such behavior very early. You can't wait until a child reaches 9 or 10 to make sure it's thinking and speaking properly. You've got to start early. And although 6 or 7 years old is admirable, expelling a 3-year-old for the serious thought crime of advocating traditional morality is really quite a lesson in love, tolerance, and inclusion. It's never too early to nip bigotry in the bud. In fact, I say you should begin as early as the cradle, or even the womb, repeating key mantras such as, "We love everyone as long as they love everyone," or, "You can't control who you love, but you can punish people for trying to control who people love," and, "Love the sin, so you can better love the sinner." These are good phrases. Of course, it's always acceptable to simply chant the letters of the holy acronym string, just so long as you make sure you're chanting the most current version as approved by the International Bureau of Sexual Taxonomy. Besides, do you think any of the older primary school children won't immediately learn the fear lesson from watching a 3-year-old fellow student sent off the pitch with a red card for sexual bigotry? Just as we all know, it's never too early to start raising good little gender anarchists. It's never too early to punish any toddlers who reject such grooming. So good for you, jolly old England, if only America could be more like ye. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
625, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you didn't catch all of the early service, the late service commences at 8:20. Be sure to be in your pews on time. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I'm still dealing with the eastern region of the... I was like, I'm sorry. Okay.
We're a very composure. Organized movement.
Yes, you are. Wow. Yeah, composure. Okay. I-10, I-110 are looking good. No accidents to let you know about right now. Just some slight delays. If you're on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. But other than that, everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. And when you're thinking about that next vehicle, if you're going to get a used vehicle or an almost new vehicle, Frontier Motors is your place. They do specialize in cars that are 1, 2, maybe 3 or 4 years young, low miles, great condition. They'll warranty it up to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And the cars you can count on. That's why I recommend them. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. Just a great place. But I know a lot of times the way you think about a car dealer is like they're the opponent, like they're the enemy, like they're trying to take advantage of you and force you to take something you don't want at a price you didn't want to pay. And, you know, if you really thought that, I mean, why would you do business with them, right? I mean, shouldn't you instead maybe go to a place where you can feel comfortable like they're on your side, like you're working together to come up with a mutually agreeable outcome where they get a good amount of money and you're happy about how much you spent and you get a good car and they're happy that you got it. I mean, like, that would be the goal. And they have so much experience with so many different cars. Instead of thinking of them as the adversary or the enemy, think of them as an ally. As an advisor, as like a place where you can get guidance, as experts, because they are. You know, you've driven the few cars you've driven in your life. They've driven, sold, purchased thousands of cars. And so ask them, you know, what resells well? What holds its value? What has too many repairs when you get to 80 or 90,000 miles? What does really well even to 150 if that's the kind of car you want to drive? Or, you know, what features do people like? What are people bragging about? Is this brand that I used to like still good today? Because things may have changed in the last 5 years. Is it affected by COVID? Like, just ask. Think of them as your, you know, experts who can give you car buying guidance. You decide whether you want to take it or not, but let them help you pick a good car, not just go to them to find how to buy the car you already decided to pick. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
China's hitting back at the U.S. with 34% tariffs on all goods imported from America. That starts April 10th. The country's finance ministry announced that move today. Beijing called for Washington to cancel the tariffs on them and resolve differences through consultation. Train service between Philadelphia and New York apparently has resumed after a crash in Pennsylvania that killed 3 people. That incident happened in the Bristol Township, north of Philadelphia. Officials say there were three people on the tracks, but there's no information on why. And severe flooding continues as a storm system drops significant rain throughout the central U.S. So far, at least 10 people have died as a result of the storms and tornadoes that broke out since Wednesday. That includes five fatalities in Tennessee. Dangerous flooding also being reported in Arkansas, Kentucky, and in Illinois.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3. I know we've got the new assessment out for the likely danger of the impending hurricane season from, it was a Colorado State every year, right? That's who puts it out. I'll give you my 30-second assessment of this that I kind of say every year, which is, as a guy who taught logic, I'm always frustrated by this announcement. Because what you really want to know is Pensacola going to get hit by a hurricane? Do they tell us whether Pensacola is going to get hit? They don't, right? And so the only thing that really would be useful knowledge is, are we going to get hit? And you don't know. You could have a year where we got hit and there were only five hurricanes. You could have a year where there were 50 hurricanes and we missed them all. And so the issue of are there more or are there less for the season, to me, doesn't help much because it's a binary question. It's an either or. We either are or are not going to get a storm here. And that is ultimately the only thing I care about. And I think sometimes the, oh, God, there's a lot of storms. Okay, but you're going to prepare anyway, right? Well, yeah, of course. And, oh, gosh, there's not many storms, but you're going to prepare anyway. Yeah, and like the takeaway is the same. I'm going to be prepared, just like you're always supposed to be prepared. And if something comes here, then it's actually going to matter to us.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Stock futures are down after the biggest losses in nearly 5 years.
The president says the stock market reacting negatively to his
country. A very booming country. It's going to be amazing, actually.
Speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One, the president says
damaging winds and tornadoes, while catastrophic flooding is also a concern over the same areas.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 73 degrees. We've got cloudy skies today. Well, Pensacola police sending their condolences after the tragic shooting death of Deputy William May earlier this week during a routine trespass call.
The truth of the matter is things like this are going to happen. It's part of being in law enforcement. It's a risk that you're willing to take every day, every time you put the uniform on.
That's PPD's Mike Wood. He tells News Radio these tragedies happen a lot. He said a PPD officer was involved in an incident involving just a minor hit-and-run crash that turned tragic a few years ago. Deputy William May's body was escorted yesterday from Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola back to Walton County. A second person has been sentenced for the 2021 murder of James Johnson on North Loop Road back in 2021. 42-year-old Carlos Holloway was found guilty on first-degree premeditated murder charges and sentenced to life in prison on Wednesday. Investigators say Johnson's body was found in a still-running vehicle with two gunshot wounds to the head. Another man, DeWitt Eccles, was sentenced to life in prison in relation to that murder in March. Well, the South Florida condo market might be headed for what analysts are calling a doom loop. That's according to Peter Zaleski. He runs the website CondoVultures.com. Says condo owners are dealing with rising maintenance fees and special assessments. Zaleski also says he's seeing more condos going up for sale, and that'll drop prices down even further. Soon, more condo units that were planned years ago are hitting the market. Zaleski says he's wondering how long it'll take to sell those. Well, a dog is alive today thanks to its owner. This story out of Tampa, Kimberly Spencer was walking her dog on Tuesday when a 6-foot alligator attacked the dog. The gator had Kona, was the dog's name, had Kona's head in its mouth, and Spencer sprang into action. She said she stopped thinking, jumped on the gator, pried its jaws open. The gator let go of her dog and ran back into the lake that it came out of. 6:34 here, News Radio 92.3. A $5.2 million project to tackle flooding on Pine Blossom Road in Santa Rosa County is set to kick off over the summer. The project would improved drainage systems to keep the area dry. Construction on that is expected to start in June. Residents should be ready for traffic delays with that project. The goal is to have everything wrapped up by March of 2026. 634 News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays on 90 or 98. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees across the area. Let's get a look at our market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. China's finance ministry said it will impose a 34% tariff on all goods imported from the U.S. starting on April 10th. The ministry criticized Washington's decision to impose 34% of additional reciprocal yields have also continued to plummet this morning as investors digested the aftermath of President Trump's aggressive reciprocal tariff policy. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped over 10 basis points to 3.947%. And once again, futures are sharply lower amid the tariff chaos. Dow futures are down by more than 1,100 points. Yesterday, the Dow lost 1,679. The NASDAQ lost 1,050. The S&P 500 down 274. Once again, futures are sharply lower amid the tariff chaos. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast. Absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Marcus Point Baptist Church encourages you to invite a friend to the community sunrise service inside Blue Wahoo Stadium. Reach out to your neighbors, coworkers, or even family members and show them an Easter tradition like never before. The Community Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday at 6 a.m. from Blue Wahoo Stadium. Visit our website at PensacolaChurch.org.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, lady!
Get funky.
Morning, 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. That is The southern quarter, third, however you want to describe it, of Escambia County and the beachfront property in the south of Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey,
how's everything going?
Good, good to see you. Before we get into stuff that's going on in Tallahassee, I did want to give you a chance to, you know, give your take on what happened in the election. Obviously, Jimmy Patronis won by a comfortable margin, but not by a landslide the way you would have expected based on the, you know, Republican-Democrat split. And, you know, of course, for the first time in, what, 30 or 40 years, lost Escambia County to Democrats. But your takeaway, or from the District 3 election of Nathan Boyles, you know, whichever, well, not election, but he wins the primary. One would expect he'll win the election. But your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I wasn't surprised by Escambia County. I mean, the city of Pensacola, if you just take the city itself and its boundaries, it went to Biden in 2020, and it went to Kamala in 2024. So I'm not surprised that Escambia County is bluer than the rest of the congressional district. I think Jimmy Patronis performed extremely well, given the fact that it was a special election, and turnout just wasn't the same as it normally is. Republicans generally aren't, you know, special election voters in the way you might think. And as for House District 3, I'm extremely excited for Nathan Boyles. I think he's going to be a great addition to the delegation. You know, I'm just excited to have him as a partner now in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, I got to make sure he wins on June 1st in the general. But assuming all goes according to what I expected to go, Nathan's going to be a great addition to the team.
Yeah, and of course he won't be in on this session because, as you say, the election is coming up later, and he's not actually the representative. Although in a heavily Republican district, we assume he's likely to win that against the Democrat. One other thought is, you know, people keep asking me, like, what's your takeaway from Escambia County's, you know, Democrat win? And my answer is it means nothing because it's such a skewed scenario. It's like doing a survey that gives you very statistically unreliable results because you don't have the right parameters to make sure that it's a statistically valid survey. That's kind of my take. Is that your take?
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at how much national money got pumped in by Democrats. I mean, 2 Chainz apparently came and did a concert in support of Gay Valamon. Like, I probably would have gone to a 2 Chainz concert.
Yeah, I know you would have.
You know what I mean?
That's funny.
you know, while you'd love to just, like, only have people that agree with you vote, the fact of the matter is there's people that disagree with you who vote, and those people were hoping to kind of snake a congressional seat back.
Right.
You know, from the Republicans. So they put in maximum effort, and I think Republicans put in maybe 60% effort. So the results make perfect sense to me.
Nice Deadpool reference, by the way. Okay, so let's talk about things that happened this week in session. The big brouhaha, as I read it, is that, you know, Danny Perez wants to give a sales tax cut to people, $5 billion spend that way to, you know, reduce the price of goods from 6% to 5.25%, especially with tariffs pending, or the effect of tariffs pending, that might be kind of advantageous. The governor, meanwhile, says, no, wait. I want to write every homeowner a check for $1,000. That's how I want to spend $5 billion. He's calling it a property tax rebate, but it's not really a property tax rebate. It's just you're eligible for the check or a stimulus or whatever you want to call it if you pay property tax as a homeowner. I know you're in the House. I know you're close to Speaker Perez, but what's your take on all this?
I want to cut both property tax and sales tax. And I think the vast majority of conservative Republicans, if they're honest with themselves, would agree with that. The fact of the matter is that this proposal, just to cut a $1,000 check to every homeowner using sales tax dollars, that's no more conservative than Biden suggesting loan forgiveness or our Medicaid program. There's no government handout that's conservative. So the fact that if this government handout proposal is coming from DeSantis doesn't suddenly make it conservative. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's taking sales tax and sort of just giving out money to a specific subset of Floridians. It doesn't do anything, and it just feels designed to try and undermine a permanent sales tax cut, which would save Florida households north of like $700 a year potentially. We should all be supportive of conservative ideas, even if they weren't our ideas. And I think Governor DeSantis just needs to kind of get on board with that and understand that they don't have to be his ideas to be good and conservative. We should be cutting both property tax and sales tax. The only issue with property tax is it has to go on to a ballot initiative. It has to be passed by the voters. So we'll put that on the ballot. In the meantime, we'll cut sales tax. And, you know, hopefully Governor DeSantis can, like, figure out how to get along with people again.
You know, it's funny. When I first heard the alternatives, I was actually more inclined to go for the $1,000 because that's more than I would pay in sales tax in a year because we're not big consumers. But then I started thinking about it that I realized I had fallen prey to the classic, you know, lottery lump sum versus gradual payout. And if it's even $500 a year, I'm back to even in 2 years. And if it's 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road, then I'm making money every year. It's better for me as a citizen. I wasn't even thinking through the, well, you're taking sales tax money to give people a check over here that, you know, it's still a redistribution of money instead of an actual tax cut, which is, you know, a fair point. One of the things that comes up a lot in conversations with civic leaders, county commission, city council, of course, they gripe about you guys a lot. The most recent gripe, I think, is, I mean, it's a fair concern. They feel like all the mechanisms that they use for funding their general revenue in the city or the county are being are attacked, and all the alternatives they could potentially use are being, you know, prohibited as well. Everything from, you know, enterprise funds to property taxes, you know, that, like, all of this is under assault, and they don't know how they're going to fund their operations. I want to get your answer to that in just a second. We're talking to Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade, our State Representative for District 2. So, Alex, you heard the question. You know, our local leaders often feel like they are under attack by Tallahassee, that the funding they have is being taken away, the funding they could replace it is not being allowed, whether it's homestead exemptions or reduction in property tax or anything else. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't view every single bill proposal as an attack, right? I mean, this is the time of the year where a bunch of people get together in Tallahassee, share ideas, and advocate for what they think the best policy is. We just talked about one disagreement on tax policy. The fact of the matter is that not all of these taxing and spending policies are going to pass in any given year, and we're not going to, you know, pass all of them at one time and suddenly tell county commissioners just to go home, their job is done for the year. So like, it's the same as, like, when the headlines come out when a Democrat files a bill about gun control, and these headlines are kind of scare tactics and stuff. Like, some of these bills aren't going to pass. Some of these bills are going to be debated but not passed. Some of these bills are going to result in studies to see if they're going to benefit or harm local communities. You know, even with this proposal on cutting property taxes, I'll be the first to tell you it would be dishonest to say you can't eliminate that source of revenue without replacing it with another reliable source of revenue. If local government officials fall prey to, you know, overreacting to headlines, I would just say that's human nature. And, you know, I've been through this for 6 years, so I've seen it. But I also consider them very good partners. I've always taken their input and worked very well with the ones who are acting in good faith. So. No, I think it'll all work out.
That's the question I was going to ask, because I know every time I hear them say that, I think, well, what they really seem to be saying is, oh my God, Tallahassee is taking away our ability. They want to eliminate property taxes. How are we going to pay for the police? Well, my answer is, I don't know yet because I haven't seen a proposal, but I assume it's going to be consumption, sales tax, VAT, something like that. I feel confident Tallahassee is not going to, you know, a Republican legislature and a governor are not going to tell local governments that they don't have money to pay their police. They'll find an alternate funding mechanism. Fair? You guarantee that, right?
Yeah, it would be malpractice. It would be completely incompetent if we didn't.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I almost am, like, embarrassed to ask the question, because the concern presumes that you guys are all terrible at your job and don't care about the state, the county, and the city. You know, and you never like to start from that premise. But, of course, if you start from that premise, you can get to any conclusion that you want. Let's see. One of the things that you guys have been working on, obviously you've been working on budget stuff. Can you maybe – this is a simple question, but I hear on the one hand that we're suffering a deficit. We've no longer getting, you know, federal money in a lot of ways. The budget itself, you know, the income is reduced. And yet at the same time, we're doing these budget, you know, giveaways, $5 billion here or there, whatever it adds up. Are we up? Are we down? Are we just fine? Like, what is our actual position as far as the budget goes?
So we do projections out about 3 years for our financial outlook. And when you talk about a deficit or facing a deficit, what that measure is really is like our measure of revenue, which is projected to continue to go up, just not up as quickly as it has in a couple of years past. Revenue continue to go up, but our budget going up at a faster rate. And that's really all we're talking about, is just the trend in our budget increasing at an incline that is steeper than the trend in our revenue collection. It's not the end of the world. It's something we as responsible, you know, government officials have to go take into account. But if our spending continues on the trend line that it's on and our revenue continues on the trend line that it's on, we will suddenly have a $3 to $7 to $9 billion deficit in a couple years. And that's just why we're, you know, proposing smaller budgets. We're proposing finding ways to cut. And frankly, we don't even need DOGE to find all the inefficiencies in state government at the moment. So it's been a target-rich environment for finding efficiencies, Andrew.
Yeah, as you have explained many times. And, you know, that's good news. Somebody's doing the work. It's sad news that the work is so easy to do. Right? That's, you know, you wish it. You really had to explore in order to find places to trim. The fact that you basically find them everywhere you look is disheartening.
You turn over a rock and you find 1,000 missing vehicles.
is that just a turn of phrase or is that a real thing?
Thousands of missing vehicles, unaccounted for vehicles in state agencies right now that they can't account for. It's just bizarre.
There's a part of me that doesn't want to know, but this is the classic conservative argument against large government of any kind, right? The farther away it is from the people who can see it and ask questions about it, the easier it is for fraud, waste, and abuse to take place, whether that's, you know, Tallahassee or D.C. or anything else. You know, the closer the better, right?
We're not D.C. We balance our budget, but if you have someone who's kind of, you know, more focused on other things than managing the government efficiently, then, yeah, that's when mistakes start happening. And we're just catching a lot of mistakes right now.
Can you maybe just take a second and talk about the ballot initiative reform? Because that's something that's gotten a lot of headlines. Of course, in our last election, we saw loads of money dumped into Florida on the basis of trying to push a few referenda that, also for the collateral benefit of who you get out to vote and all this. But this has been something that DeSantis has talked quite a bit about. And I know the headlines have been, you know, very sky is falling, Chicken Little kind of stuff. They're trying to destroy the ballot initiative process. What's your perspective on the reform? What are they, and what do you think about the proposals?
Well, first and foremost, it should not be easy to pass a constitutional amendment.
Amen.
It should be the opposite of easy. But in this circumstance, what the focus was on was how these organizations collect petitions, because you have to collect a certain number of petitions. I think it's 8% of the voting population in Florida has to sign a petition to put it on the ballot. And so the bill this week limits out-of-state funding to pay people. It limits incentive funding, like paying a certain amount per ballot. It's designed to try and make sure that these ballots, that these petitions are being signed by actual Floridians, and that we don't have incentives for people to forge petitions on a regular basis. What we saw in a lot of circumstances was high numbers of these petitions, being forged, being fake, and that unfortunately still resulted in a ballot initiative making it on the ballot, for Florida voters to vote on. So I think limiting out-of-state money and raising the standard for these petitions themselves are both good policies. I mean, if something needs to be changed in our Constitution, it should be heavily supported by Florida voters, and the bill this week is just focused on making sure that we can guarantee that it's Florida voters who are actually incentivized and desirous of the change.
You know, it's amazing the level of scrutiny and protocol and form filling that we implement or is implemented in order to avoid fraud in, for example, hurricane recovery and, you know, debris collection, and really anywhere that you have the opportunity to make money as a kind of bounty on an activity. And then when you turn around and try to implement those same or similar kinds of controls on the very key process of exercising democracy and changing the Constitution, all of a sudden, you know, these are terrible protocols. You shouldn't be doing anything like that. Nobody would ever try to fudge around the system on the basis of making money for it. Well, yeah, they would. That's the whole issue. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2, as always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you would love a beautiful, green, lush lawn come the summer, well, the time to start thinking about that is really now. You know, it is really early. That's when you want to start looking at NSEC and their healthy lawn program to get your lawn healthy, lush, and keep weeds to a minimum. 8 annual applications that are timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs and when it needs it. It's easy to get started with a free lawn analysis and an estimate. So they'll do some soil sampling. They'll look at your lawn, figure out what would actually be needed by your particular lawn's needs, and then get you on a program to, you know, control the weeds and, you know, grow the grass and, you know, avoid turf damaging insects and all that kind of stuff so that you can have that beautiful, lush, proud to come look at it sort of lawn in the summer. They also have a healthy landscape program if you're interested that would help you figure out, you know, tree and shrub care, aeration, grass plugs, grass types, all that stuff. Sign up today, get a $100 discount on your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program, and that includes the initial soil sample, lime treatment on an average size yard. Sign up today at NSEC or get more information at NSEC, ENSEC.net. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even Highway 29 heading down to 9 Mile. 9 Mile's flowing smoothly, too. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, get pumped up for some high-energy fun from classic rock cover band Class X at the Gulfside Pavilion. Class X features two powerful lead vocalists and a vast array of material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It's at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Tune in Tuesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they help relieve individuals with severe pain with their latest in scalar and biophotonic energy room, which can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station Tuesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel
on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver. The Lone Ranger.
Nobody has ever claimed that Rick Springfield is like the greatest music ever, but how can you not love it? It's the guilty pleasure pop rock of the 80s. Oh, come on now. Give it on. Yeah. It makes me happy. I am a little embarrassed that the CD of Rick Springfield's greatest hits that I own has a red heart right in the middle of it.
That's so cute.
Not so happy about that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Department of Education is warning that public schools could lose federal funds unless they comply with orders to eliminate DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The department says they've sent letters to state education commissioners warning that those programs are discriminatory and a violation of federal statutes. The letters singled out funding given to local school districts under Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
Man, you're seeing it all over the place. You're seeing it at higher education universities. You're seeing it at the military academies. You're seeing it. This is the nature of changing an ideology, is people are scared because they're not sure what they can't say anymore.
Stream us at